Because what I did today, I prayed about it and I said, God, what message should I give? What should we talk about? What should we go into? And I thought something that Pastor John has a very strong suit in is compassion. And it's so important that we have compassion in our lives. Because we live in especially nowadays, it's even getting worse. We live in a very volatile, you know, they talk about we're going to be united and all that stuff. And if you listen to government and all that things, it's anything, it's going the opposite way. We're becoming less united and we're becoming more divisive. And that's not what God wanted. Because God wanted to separate the two anyway. He wanted to have government here and spirituality here. Because Jesus Christ did not come back as the king of a earthly realm. He came back as the king of a spiritual realm. So that's the difference. You know, everybody's wanted, all the Jewish people at that time wanted somebody, the Messiah, to come back as a earthly realm. They wanted him to come back and take over the government and all that stuff. And that's not what God had in plan. Because if that would have happened, you think about it, it would have been very, very short-lived. It would have been, we wouldn't even know the name Jesus right now if that would have happened. Because it would have been leader of a government, a king. And you know, all of this after a while, can you name the kings and queens of Europe? No, I can't name them. I don't even know who they are. So what I wanted to do today is I wanted to preach on compassion and how we as believers in Jesus Christ have to have compassion in our lives. We have to have a concern for the lost and the unsaved. We have to reach out. And that's what it comes with the congregation. We as a congregation have to reach out. But I'd like to take a moment before we get started and open with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we can gather today. We thank you that we can praise you, that we can hear your word, Lord, because we know it's so important that this word come into our lives and that blesses us, Lord, and that we can bless you and bless others around, Lord. We thank you and we give you the glory and the praise for this message. And Lord, just bless this message, Lord, as we hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, today we will go into the discussion of compassion. Our best representation of compassion is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the author of compassion, of love, of comfort. God wants to comfort you because he knows that you are a unique individual. You have unique callings. You have special things that you can do. So just remember that. Whenever the devil comes around and says, oh, you can't do anything, you can't do this, you can't do that, don't listen. Know that you have the calling where he puts you to do what he has for you. And it can be many different things. It can be evangelism out, which we all should do. It could be teaching. It could be prayer warrior. It could be many, many different things that God has called you to do. But we have to be able to listen and be willing to do that, to be willing to go out and do what God has called us to do. What I want to go is John, if you got your Bibles handy, you got your iPads handy, whatever you guys use, like they were talking, Brandon was talking about technology. Well, I'm not big into technology. I'm back to the age of the party line. Remember when you used to work on cars and they had points and condensers and things like that? Well, I'm of that era. Now I can't even work on a car. If I got a car, it's got to go in the shop. They plug it into this machine. The machine tells them what's wrong with it, and then they fix it. So I'm back from the old ages. I'm ancient, way back there. So, but anyway, get back on. Don't watch me. Sometimes I get on rabbit trails. If I do, get me back. You know, push me back in there. But so I come back from an old age. But you know, I'm not against technology. Don't get wrong. Believe it or not, I've got a laptop. My wife uses it. I know, laptop, I know we got one. Now, Laura uses it more than I do. I get on it every so often. Now, she's on it more, yeah. She likes it. She has it by the kitchen table. She uses it quite regularly. You know, but it's one of those things. It's made shopping a lot different, I know that. And she'll tell you that. problem is, with laptops, there's just way too much stuff available on that sucker. I mean, it used to be you had a catalog, and you looked at the catalog, and there was a limited amount of stuff you can get. Now you go on the internet, and there's thousands and thousands of thousands of items. I get confused. I'm one of those people, you know, I want this, I go buy it. I'm done. But, you know, oh well, as I digress. Let's go back where we want. We're going to go to John chapter 11, and we're going to start out at 17. We're going to be talking about Lazarus, but we're going to be talking about a little different aspect of Lazarus. We're going to be talking about the comforting. We're going to be talking about the compassion. So I want just a little bit different. You know, yes, there was a great miracle that happened at the end where Lazarus was raised from the dead. But that's not really what I'm concentrating on today. I'm concentrating more on God's comfort and compassion. And I'm going to be reading out of the NIV because that's what I got. And you're probably going to wonder why I read the NIV. Pastor Tamney was here for many years, and he was a blessing to me. He was a mentor. I learned a lot of things from him. And this Bible, he gave to me. And he's got it highlighted. He's got yellow marks in it, so it means a lot to me. So I read out of the NIV, and I like to preach out of the NIV. Now, a lot of people will use it in King James Version, and that's fine. Bless your heart. I mean, I have no problem with that. I mean, I'm not at one of these strict where you got to go the old King James Version. If you don't do the old King James Version, you're not reading the Bible. Well, no, come on. Everything's new. Things change. Our lives change. If I lived like I did way back, I'd be in trouble. I've learned to grow. I've learned to pastor. You know, I'm one of these old people. Let's give you an idea. I just turned 65. It gets older. You know, you realize when you turn 65, you're, quote, officially a senior citizen. I mean, that's kind of what they do. You know, you get all the discounts and all the different things that go with being a senior citizen. So I hit that goal, hit that mark. So I'm, quote, senior citizen. But what I wanted to go to about Lazarus, so we're going to do a little reading, and I should start reading because, you know, I don't want to keep you guys here until 4 or 5 o'clock. So we should start reading. So let's go to verse 17, John 11, 17. And my little heading on here is Jesus comforts the sisters. So we're going to read a little bit about that. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brothers. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And give you a little background on this. You know, Jesus could have healed Lazarus before he died. He could have. But that wasn't God's plan. And we have to understand that in our lives, healing sometimes comes immediately. Sometimes it comes slowly. And be honestly, sometimes we may go to heaven. I mean, that's just the way it is. We have a certain lifespan on this earth, and God will call us home. And we're all going to go home, everyone. Like Pastor Bill Chappell used to say, 10 out of 10 people will go home. They're going to go be with the Lord. It's not an option. It's not going to be 9 out of 10, not 8 out of 10. It's 10 out of 10 people will go home to be with the Lord sometime. It's going to happen. I mean, I'd like to tell you differently, but I can't. So anyway, Jesus was coming to there, and he was going to be there for them because he was going to comfort. He was going to show compassion. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Our resurrection comes from Jesus Christ. When you give your heart to God, and that's the difference between Christianity and all other faiths. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We don't have rules and regulations and all this stuff to get to heaven. Some faiths do. They have all these rules, regulations. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do this. And you're not going to make it to heaven. God doesn't say that. God says to believe in Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive you of your sins. Simple. That's it. Let's don't make it complex. Let's don't make it where you got to jump through hoops. You got to go through this hoop, that hoop, that hoop. Now, do you grow? Well, yes. We all grow. Sanctification is a process of growing where we learn and we follow and we learn from our word. We learn from prayer. We learn from our mentors. We learn from all the different people to grow. But we do not make it complicated for the unbeliever. And I had Pastor Tammy tell me one time, do not, whatever you do, judge the sinner on the same standard as a Christian should be held accountable to. Because they're not Christians. They don't live by the word. They don't live by that. They live by a different rule. So we have to remember that. That we be not judgmental. It's so easy, us as believers, especially I have to watch it, older I get, and sometimes I gotta be, that I become judgmental. Well, they're doing this because of such and such. They're doing this because, and no, God says to have compassion, or have love, because they live in a different realm. They don't live the same way we do. They live whatever it may be. They don't have that comfort. I have the comfort of knowing Jesus Christ. If I get up in the morning, I got a problem, I can go to my Maker. I can go to my Lord, and He's going to be there. He's going to be my comforter. He's going to be my compassion. And what does God call us to do? To take that same compassion and go out to others. We don't want to hide it. We don't want to be mean. We don't want to be steeped in pickle juice. Nobody wants a pickle. I mean, you don't want a dill pickle to be around. So if you're out in the world, the last thing you want to be is nasty, mean, obnoxious. And you know what's scary? What's scary is I've talked to people that work in stores, and you know who some of the worst people can be to be pickles? Christians. They can be the worst pickles out there, the most dill ones you can see. You don't want to be that. You want to be the compassionate. You want to be the caring. When you go out to stores, treat that clerk, treat that person who's waiting on you with love and kindness. Give them a smile. And don't let your bad day wash out on them. Don't be that. Because you're supposed to be presenting a message out there. You're supposed to be presenting a message of love, of kindness and compassion, like Jesus was doing with Mary and Martha. He loved them so much. He cared for them so much that He talked to them. Because they went through a real struggle because they were struggling with this. Why wasn't their brother healed? Why did he die? Why did they have to bury him? I mean, you know, that wasn't supposed to be, because they were seeing all these miracles happen. They were under watching Jesus Christ perform miracle after miracle after miracle. And we don't have all the miracles written down here. There's a lot more than what's written in the Bible. But they didn't say that. There was miracles done that's not it, because they couldn't have put them all in here. It wouldn't have fit. Because God was coming to earth, and God did come to earth in the form of Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord, she told him, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but he was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews had come along with her, also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, they replied, and Jesus wept. And I believe it was a heartfelt wept. He truly wept because of the loss of his brother. Of his child, of his, you know, and God, you know, God loved him so much. He loved Lazarus. And he wept. Compassion should come from the heart. It should come from down here. It's not going to come from head knowledge. Because I've been around people that have head knowledge compassion. And it misses the boat. Because it's just, they give you all the, what do you call it? Nice, proper things to all the platitudes. I knew I was coming up with the word. They give you all the platitudes, all the proper things to say. But compassion isn't that. Compassion is what comes from the heart. It's saying what you feel. And I always say you can read somebody's eyes, and you really can. I've been around people, and you can read their eyes. Do they truly have compassion? Are they reaching out and saying, you know, I really care about that situation? And I really want to be there for you. And I want to be the person you can rely on. And that's what compassion is about. And God calls us to have a circle of people. Like we were, Brandon was talking about men's accountability. Well, we have an accountability to people around us to be there when they need us, to be there, to be that person that they can call on. And that's what I'm so thankful about Pastor John. Pastor John is one of those men, and you can see it in his eyes. You can see that compassion. You can see that love. That when somebody's hurting, you can just see it. You can just see that he's feeling it, and he's praying about it. And that's what I'm so thankful for Pastor John, that he's there and does that. Because that is not always a commodity. There are pastors and preachers out there that don't have that compassion. They're out there doing what God calls them. I'm not faulting them. That's not trying to do that. But that's not their thing. They don't really have that. But we're lucky we have a pastor that has that compassion and has that caring. And I'm very thankful for that. We'll go on. Jesus wept with 35. Isn't that what they say, one of the shortest verses, 35? I think it's called one of the shortest ones. Then the Jews said how he loved them. But some of them said, could not he who had opened the eyes of the blind men had kept this man from dying? But you know what? God had a plan. And it wasn't man's plan. It was God's plan. Because God was going to get glory. God was going to get glory for this situation. And we're very thankful that God did get the glory. Jesus, once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone, and across the entrance, take away the stone. But Lord, said Martha, and I like this practicality. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Now, that's practicality, right? I mean, he's been dead 4 days. We better not open that up. You know, it's not going to be real refreshing. But God had a plan, and that's what's so great. Then Jesus said, did I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you, for you have heard me. I knew that you were always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, and that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with cloths of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave cloths and let him go. God had just got done doing a major, major miracle, resurrection. Only God can resurrect. We have to remember that. Only God can heal. Only God. We can be the vessel. We can pray. We can lay hands on. We can do all those things. But only God can heal. The same with salvation. We can pray for people. We can lead people. We can talk to people. But only God can save people. That's so we don't get big heads. We don't get self-righteous. We don't get looking like, well, look what I did. Because you didn't do it. God did it. All you did was a vessel. You got to remember that. You're a vessel. You're not God. Don't try to be God. I don't want to be God. I have no desire to be God. I don't want to make judgments. I don't want to have to say whether somebody's going to heaven or hell. No desire for that one. That's God's in his realm, not mine. I'll leave it there. But we can be vessels. We can be his workmanship. We can be that person that leads somebody else to God. And you have that ring of people you know, friends, family, that don't know Jesus Christ, and you can love on them. Don't beat them down. Don't browbeat them. That don't work. I can tell you, if somebody would have browbeat me before I became a Christian, that would have been bad. Nobody browbeat me. They told me about it. Don't get me wrong. Had an uncle, told me all about the Lord. Had other people tell me about it. But you know what? It was God moving that brought me to him. It wasn't somebody hitting me over the head saying, you will become a Christian or else. That's not going to happen because you can't make somebody do something they don't want to do. Impossible. This can't be done. So don't even try. But you can love them. You can comfort them. Maybe it's a spouse that doesn't know Jesus Christ yet. Love on them. Care for them. Maybe it's a brother or sister that doesn't know Jesus Christ. Love on them. Care on them. You may not see anything happen right away. It may take years. Especially when you get my age, you find the years go fast. And I'm still praying for people that I prayed for about 40 years ago. I'm still praying for them. They haven't come to the Lord yet, but I'm praying for them because I believe they are going to come. And I will mention about Jesus Christ to them when I get the chance. So we need to do that. So we're going to move on because I want you to know there's other places where God comforted too and did things a little differently. I always kind of like it where he did things differently, doesn't do the status quo. That's so you can remember. You don't always have to do things according to tradition, according to certain ways you want to do it. You know, like James and Brandon will say, get out of your comfort zone. I got to watch it. I'm preaching to myself today. This is me too. I'm preaching to me today. I sometimes get caught in my rut. You know, you got these two little wheels. You follow the same path over and over and over again, and you get these little ruts. And you can't veer one way or the other because you're stuck in that little rut. Well, God calls us to get out of that rut. And I'm still working on it. I work on it every day. I wake up and say, God, keep me out of that rut. Don't let me get to where I'm not talking to anybody. I'm not witnessing to anybody. I'm not touching anybody. I need to be touching somebody every day. I need to be witnessing. I need to be living out to somebody. And it doesn't have to be I'm going to be giving you the Roman road to salvation, or I'm going to be that. It could be just that friendly smile. It could be that, hey, how can I help you? What can I do for you today? It doesn't have to mean that we're going to be out there doing the Roman road or any of the other different methods. That doesn't mean that. It means you're out there touching a life. You're putting a smile on somebody's face. And we can all do that. Everyone can put that smile on somebody's face. So, and one of the ways we can do the smile on somebody's face is quit being so concerned about ourselves. Sometimes we get in that thing of we're worried about all of our own little problems, all of our own little cares, and we're not reaching out to anybody. You need to reach out and kind of put yourself maybe, I hate to say this, maybe a little bit on the back burner, maybe not quite so much on the front burner. You know, put yourself back and reach out to other people because God called us unto service. We're to serve others. We're to reach others. We're to touch others. Okay? If you're not doing anything for anybody and all you're doing is for yourself, you're missing the mark, period. You're just missing it because God calls you to be available to do what you're doing. When John asked me to come up to give the message while he was going on vacation, my first response could have been, no, I'm not doing that. I don't want to do that. I'd have to go out of my comfort zone to do that. I'd rather just sit in a pew back there and do that. Because I struggle sometimes. I'm not going to lie to you. This is not an easy thing for me to do, to get up here and to present you guys a message. I stew and I study over it and I pray over it and I think about it. And Laura will tell you, I go all week long and just think, what should I do? And all, what should I pray over? And what should I go on? You know, what should I give the message on? So it's not an easy thing. So God's going to call you to do some things that are not easy. It may be talking to your neighbor. It may be going up. And I say, not a confrontational matter, in a loving, kind matter. You may be going and saying, hey, you know, I know you're having some problems in life. I know some things are not going like they're supposed to be. If I can be there for you, let me be there for you. And let me be that person that can touch someone. And every one of us should have people we touch. Every one of us should have somebody. Because if think about it, if everybody had somebody they could go to, there would be nobody alone. There'll be nobody left because everybody would be covered because somebody was paying attention. Somebody was caring about that person. So let's go on a little bit. I want to go to John 9. I'm going to stay in John here a little bit. I was in 11. Now I need to go to John 9. Here we go. Okay. Jesus heals a man born blind. I wanted to go into a little more of the healing because of the compassion aspect of it. But I still want to stay in compassion because I think it's important. Because God does things differently. And let's start that. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. This happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. That scripture means a lot to me because sometimes people want to blame people for illnesses. And they say, well, you didn't study enough. You didn't read the word enough. You didn't pray enough. You didn't have enough faith. That's why you're sick. And that's why something good. And that's not what it is. God said that there would be ailments. There would be things. And you did nothing to cause it. You didn't have any control over it. It was just part of life. It was part of living in this world. So get away from that thing of blaming. Don't be blaming somebody, because that's what they were doing. The Sadducees and Pharisees were blaming. They say, well, you sinned, or your parents sinned, or somebody did something. No, it doesn't work that way. Now, can that happen? I mean, can you do something wrong and cause problems in your life? Yeah, you can. I mean, you know, if you abuse your body, you you do things you know you shouldn't do, and we all know things we shouldn't do, you can have disease and illness. But you could also have that and never have done anything, never have had any vice or whatever you want to call it. You never smoked, you never drank, you never did, and you can still get sick. And you can still have an illness, because it's not related to that. It's because you live in an imperfect world created when Adam fell. When Adam fell, the world became imperfect. In an imperfect world, there will be disease, there will be tribulation, there will be trials. It's just the facts of life. So when we have a compassionate heart, we understand that. With a compassionate heart, we're going to reach out. We're going to say, hey, I'm going to be there for you. When you're going through your struggle, when you're going through your time, I'm going to be there. Just like Jesus was. Jesus was there for Lazarus. He was there for Martha and Mary. And he's going to be here for this blind man. And he said, God might be displayed in his life as long as the day. We must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming, and when no one can work, while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And Jesus is still in the world. We have not went home yet. So since we have not went home, the light is here. So we need to keep doing the work. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eye. Go, he told him, just show him, wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, I'm going to admit, if I was the average guy out there and somebody came up and spit in mud and put it on my eye, I'd be a little bit, what's going on here? But you know, this man is blind. He had never seen in his life. But you know what? God had compassion upon him. God had love upon him, that he put this mud in his eye and told him to go wash. Now, he had to act in faith. He had to go to the pool of Siloam. And his neighbor and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, is it the same man he used to sit and beg? Some claimed he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes opened? They demanded. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it in my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed. And what I could see, and where is this man, they asked. I don't know. But he went and did what God promised. And he didn't hide it. He went and told people that Jesus had healed him. So we should never keep our salvation under a basket, under it hid. If somebody asks you if you know Jesus, you better be saying, yes, I do. He's my Savior and I love him. And he's with me every single day. From morning till night, my God is beside me. He is lifting me. He is supporting me. And he wants to do the same with you. You're a unique individual, each and every one of you. None of you were created the same. God created you with talents, with abilities, ways you can get out and go forth, no matter what situation's in, no matter where you're at, no matter what's going on, God has something for you to do. He has some place for you to serve, whatever it may be. I had some more scripture, but I think I'm going to be closing a little bit out on this, because you know what? I got some more to finish with. I got my summation. And I think my summation is probably more important than the other. How do we show compassion? What are the steps we take to reach out? Number one, in my mind, I'm talking about the physical aspect, is to listen. How many people really don't listen? I've caught myself even doing it. We don't really listen. We want to speak. You ever been there? You ever been that person? You know, you're not really listening. Your mind's off somewhere else, and you're getting ready to say something because you want to speak. And I tell you, I'm preaching to myself here because I've been there where, you know, I'm almost wanting to say something before the other person gets a chance to tell me what they're going to tell me. And you know what I'm not doing? I'm not listening. You know, all I'm doing is I want to present my agenda. I'm not taking the time to truly listen. So what I'm calling you today to do is truly listen. Listen to what they got to say. Listen to what is on their hearts. Listen to where they're coming from. Is it, you know, and that's not an easy thing to do. I like to tell you that listening is easy. Listening is not easy. Sometimes it takes work because we want to, like I say, further our own agenda, our own talking point, and we miss what the person's actually telling us because we're not listening, because we're well, we say we are, but it's going one ear out the other, not stopping on the way. Am I the only one that's ever had that happen? That it's going one ear and out the other, and it didn't stop on the way through. Maybe I'm the only one, but so that's one thing we need to do to help us develop compassion. Because if you have it stop, you can actually say, "Hey, you know, I'm concerned." And I believe it or not, I found this out. You can really surprise people, because I know when I was working, somebody would tell me something that he prayed for, and I would tell him I would pray for him. And a week later, I would go up and say, "Well, how's that going? This what happened to you?" And they would look shocked. I said, "You remember?" Well, I said, "Yeah, you asked me to pray for you. I thought I should, you know." And you know, but you find out that a lot of people, they don't remember when you walk past them. They forgot already. I'm not saying you're going to remember everything. You don't remember everything. And the next one is to pray for the needs. And like James always says, pray right then and there. If they got a need and they need the prayer, just do it. Pray for them. You know, sometimes we think we got to go do the special prayer place and all that stuff. No, just pray for them. And is prayer complicated? Absolutely not. It's just talking to God. It's not complicated. You don't have to get into a ritual. You don't have to get into saying all these perfect phrases and all that. Because didn't God even say that if you go in a situation and you didn't know what to pray, to seek Him, and He would give you the words to say? He told us that in a word. He said He'll give you the words. You don't have to be a Bible theologian. I'm not one. I admit I'm not a Bible. I like the Bible, and I read it, but I'm not a theologian. I mean, I don't tear it apart and go to all the different what numbers mean. And all. It's not my thing. I'm one of these what I call practical Christians that believe you should live it, love it, and do it. Live it, love it, do it. If you read it in the Word and it tells you how to live, do it. It's not going to do you any good if it sits in there. It's only going to do you good if you live it and you love it and you do it. That's the only way you can do it. Help in service and meeting needs. There's many needs in the community. There's many needs to be done. And if each of us would step up and help our neighbor, help those in need, and there's many ways you can do it. You can do it by actual service, physical service. You can do it by financial giving. You can support people. If God's blessed you with resources, you can use those resources to bless others. And there's nothing wrong with that. God can do that. So we need to be in service of others. You can be in service of your actual physical time. You go and do things like we're coming up with Promise Keepers coming up here. We're going to need workers. Brandon's going to tell you. We're going to need people that's going to help out. We're going to need ushers. You're going to need all kinds of people. Are you willing to do that service? There's going to be a sign-up sheet back here. If you're willing to do that and spend some time. But are you willing? I don't know. You got to search that one. That's in your heart. And have a caring heart and know what's in your heart. Because the reality is God knows what's in your heart. You're not going to hide it from Him. I mean, you can put on all the exteriors, all the proper functions. You can do all these things. But if that compassion is not in your heart, if that caring is not in your heart, God knows it. So don't try to fool Him. Don't try to say, "I'm going to pull the wool over God's eyes." You're not going to do it. Can't be done. Impossible. So remember that. So what I want to close with today is I want you to understand that God is a God of compassion. He would not have sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross if he didn't care for you, if he didn't love you, if he didn't have compassion for you. He would not do that. Because why would you do that? There would be no reason. But God loved you so much. He loved you. And remember, he loves you just the way you are. And that's what sometimes we get. I remember hearing people say, you know, well, I got to get my life together before I can come to God. No, 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 no. Because it will never happen. Because us as human beings cannot get our life together. We can't do it. It's impossible. But through God's help, we can. So what I'm going to close with today with you is, if you don't know Jesus Christ, I want you to come into him and have him come into your heart. And it's not complicated. It's not hard. And we're available up here up front. And it's a very simple process. It's you just accept Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive you of your sins. And when we're out, we need to make it that simple process too. And don't expect people to immediately become perfect. Not going to happen. Oh, no. But, you know, they're not all of a sudden going to live this godly perfect life where everything's wonderful. No. They're going to struggle just like you struggled when you got saved. I know when I first got saved, I struggled. I used to be Lord doesn't believe this, but I used to be a profound cusser. I would cuss probably every other word or every third word. And I didn't think anything of it. It was just what I did. I mean, I was raised on a farm, and I was raised by a family that's what you did. You cussed, you know. You know how long it took me before I quit cussing? 6 months before I finally got my language cleared up. 6 months. Now, if it had been somebody that saw me saved and heard me between that time and come down on me, that wouldn't have been good. I'd have really had problems with that. It took me full 6 months. I didn't get it overnight. And then other things have taken longer. So, you know, don't expect Christians, when they get first saved, to all of a sudden become perfect people. Not going to happen. Because I can tell you right now, unless you're in heaven right now, you're not one of the perfect people either. So, well, if you have any need for prayer afterwards, feel free to come up. We'll have somebody here to pray for you. But you know what? I need to quiet down and quit now. It's time. We all want to go home and have lunch and do all the things we do. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's good to get time with family. So let's close with a word of prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the time you've given us, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord, that we know that we can never go wrong when we get in your word. We can never go wrong because you love us and you care for us and you have compassion upon us, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you for this day. And we ask that you bless us as we go forth. And Lord, let us be a witness into this community, Lord. Let us be loving and kind to our neighbors and to our friends, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.